Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is episode 50, and I'm not always on time with these, but I am marching on. Today, heard some interesting news about an artist being denied access into the United States. Her name was Gisele Agassi. I guess I have some of her work. She did Archie Meets the Ramones. She did a couple of Archies that I own, Gem and the Holograms, Betty Boop, which I really enjoyed. What else did she do? Something in Die Kitty Die. I don't know if it was the backup or what, and which I love. And then another book that's her own creative piece called Cool Cat Studios. And she did Penny and Angie. But anyway, she was coming into the United States for C2E2. She's a French Canadian, I believe. And they searched her car, found comic books and artwork, and searched her purse and found Tylenol, but they didn't know what it was. Like, she didn't have it in an identifiable label, so they didn't know if it was a narcotic or a drug. And, they essentially looked at her unfinished artwork and said that you can't enter the United States, I guess, if you have a product that you're going to sell that's unfinished, which is really odd. Because I know for a fact that when artists do pre-commissions, they don't necessarily finish them. They sometimes start them, or they'll do the loose sketch and then they'll finish them out at the cons, even if you did a pre-commission. Some of them will do the pre-commission, like, and then have them ready when you actually get to the con. But what a drag, man. I mean, I hope that she could file some kind of complaint or something, because that just seems like a bullshit reason to deny somebody access and turn you around after you drove many hours to come into the United States. But the borders are crazy nowadays. So I thought I'd talk about that, and then just wanted to give an update on some of my strategies for downsizing my intake of comics. Essentially, I was doing Mike M's Build a Library comic. And in other words, I didn't necessarily read everything that I bought, but I bought everything so I could have it available. So I was building my own library. And I think that the growth of my collection has grown really big over the last couple of years, and I need to get it somewhat back under control. So I've come up with some generic rules of what I'm going to be doing. I was getting cover A's and cover B's for DC, and now I'm strictly getting cover A's, which is going to be kind of hard because, man, it's tough with the cover B's. I would say like 50% of the books are way better cover B's than cover A's, but it makes a collection really weird, if at least in my mind, to have, cover A, cover B, cover A, cover B, cover A. I'd rather be consistent with the covers. So I'm going to be phasing off the cover Bs. So that's eliminating, I don't know, a good portion of DC, but I'm going to keep getting every single DC title, including the kids' books and the young animal. Now they got another line that's coming out where it's like artist driven, which is kind of a slap in the face to Marvel after they had their what do you call it, their retailer summit, and they said that artists can't sell books anymore because DC's gonna have a whole new line and they're driven by artists. It seems like they're poking at Marvel's weaknesses. Like, they canceled their digital little stickers in the comics and replaced them with every week there's a different sticker, but it's the same sticker in all the books. And what it is it's like the first issue in a trade. For me, that really sucks because every trade that they've offered, I've already loaded as a digital book, you know, through the print copy that I have. But so I haven't been able to utilize any of those stickers. But DC is now putting out stickers. I think it started 3 weeks ago for the $3.99 book. So you could go into DC Comics slash redeem, and if you bought a $3.99 comic, also have a digital comic. And for a collector that likes to be a historian, that's really a nice thing to have, because you have quick access to look up things instead of having to lift a couple boxes and find it. But it's a convenience. It's not like it's a nice thing. It's not a necessity. The other thing is, I'm gonna let Marvel kind of phase themselves out. I'm gonna keep getting the series that I'm getting. I did cancel like a few of them. I canceled books that are not written necessarily for me. I'm not gonna get Miss Marvel anymore. I'm not gonna get Moon Girl. Patsy Walker, I think that canceled on its own. Totally Awesome Hulk. Books like that. The Champions, which I never really could find a way to like it. I think it's mentally, because you take a team that I was real fond of, you know, Hercules, Iceman, Angel, Black Widow, and Ghost Rider, and you replace them with these kids, and it's not, I hate to say it, but it's not my champions. But hopefully it's somebody else's champions, and they can grow to love them like I grew the initial ones. But it's a different target audience for those books, at least in my opinion, and they read differently. Like if you compare that with like Titans, or and I could have a bias towards DC, but they just feel different and they look different. But like I love what reading a Gotham Academy and Teen Titans and some of the other books. So that's one thing. There are books that are gonna be safe in Marvel though, like Daredevil, Black Panther, any of those titles, Inhumans, probably a good majority of the X books, probably an Avengers title, Captain America for sure, just because I love these characters, and then some odds and ends that I will not quit. I'm gonna keep getting those. Like Daredevil, I'll always buy unless something happens. And what I'll probably do is get a Marvel Unlimited subscription as I get a new iPad and just read that digitally. The other company that's safe is Valiant, but I'm only gonna get cover A's. Like I'm not gonna buy. I was buying cover A's plus the pre-order bundles, which makes no sense for me. I know they have some additional content and stuff, but I pre-order everything, and when I even pre-order different than an LCS. I pay for the books in advance before I get them. Like when you order through DCBS, you pay in advance and you're guaranteed to get them. Most LCSs, you pay as you consume them. You go to the store and you get them and you pay. But then the onus is on the retailer, because they have tons of customers that have pull boxes and then they just stop showing. And the books accumulate for weeks before they realize, hey, this guy isn't coming back and I'm going to lose this money. So I'm for pre-ordering and paying for it. And the whole Valiant thing is, I think it's a good idea, except for those purchasers that just quit, and I'm sure they're going to get stuck with those Valiant books. In other words, unless they pay in advance, they're probably going to order like 3 issues of XO. What if they read the first XO and they say, oh man, I don't like it? Then they don't show up the next week to pick up their ne or the next month to get their next XO, and they just let it expire. And oh boy, some shops, they account for that by keeping your credit card on file and stuff like that. But I think most shops are just on the honor system. You know, they trust you that you're going to go and get your books. And that's a dangerous thing, because I go to the local shop for stuff too. And I see it happen so many times, and I'm like, man, I can't believe that you keep doing this, because that's books that, and on rare occasions, they'll have pulled a book that's worth something, and they can maybe recoup their money because it's a hot item. But that's a very rare occasion that that happens. The other thing I'm looking at is Zenoscope. I'm gonna keep going, but I'm gonna reduce their titles. Like, I'm gonna keep getting the ones that I'm gonna get. I'm gonna finish the arcs, but I might reduce like Zenoscopes to 2 to 3 books instead of like 6. Dynamite, I might reduce some books, but I like Dynamite a lot. So like the pulp characters are safe for sure. And Boom, gonna be more conservative on them. But I did love that Planet of the Apes Marvel reprint. Oh my god. So I shot that in my order this last time. The other thing I'm doing with, like, I'm not gonna be getting like every single omnibus. I'm gonna be more selective. Like this last previews, I wanted 4 omnibus. There was a Thor, After Heroes Reborn. There was Master of Kung Fu Shang-Chi. There was the Hulk, World War Hulk Omnibus. There was the Thor Walt Simonson re-edition, and I don't have the original. And so instead of getting all 4, I got 2 of them, and I would have even been more conservative. But I want to complete the Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu, and this is like the 4th volume. They have 4 volumes of that. They're gonna surpass the omnibuses that they have for Spider-Man, at least in sequential order, and Fantastic Four, because they'll have 4 omnibi for Master of Kung Fu Shang-Chi plus 1 Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. So that's a lot of omnibi right there. I'm gonna keep my commitment for getting every single epic. I love the epic collection. I'm gonna be a completist on that, and just hope that things like Walt Simonson's Thor makes its way into the epic collection. I'm sure it's going to. I just don't know when. So hopefully everything will make its way to epic collection. And there's some things that like should be epic collections but are not. Like the Son of Satan, I'm gonna get stuff like that. The Cloak and Daggers, they had 2 volumes of that, and they should have just called it Epic Collection 1, Epic Collection 2, in my opinion. I don't know why they didn't do that. Image, I'm also gonna be keeping the existing and letting themselves kind of phase out, but I'm gonna treat them more like if we're gonna cover something in Image. And I'm gonna treat them more like on demand, and what that means is I'll use it like Comixology. Like if Bill says for Geek Brunch, I want to talk about this book, I can go get number one from Comixology and try it out and read it. I mean, there's gonna be some creators that I'm gonna add Image books, but before I was getting everything. A publisher that's also safe, which is a small publisher, is Amigo. That's just 1 to 2 books a month, so they're safe. And they're Black Mass still have books that I'll be getting, and there's several other publishers that I'll still be getting just less of, and we'll see how that goes. And hopefully it'll. The other thing I'm gonna do is I was ordering crazy, crazy back issue stuff, and I'm gonna try to reduce that to like 4 bundles a year. In other words, 4 my comic shop orders a year, and whatever cons I get, which will probably be higher ticketed items, just so I can complete Daredevil and a couple other things. So I won't be getting a lot of quantity at those places, but they'll be more costly books so I can finish my collections. So that's in a nutshell. I mean, there's probably gonna be some other stuff. Variants for sure are being cut, like totally. Even though I'm gonna miss some of them, like there's those Frank Cho Harley Quinn covers that are amazing, and I've been enjoying like the Deathstroke cover Bs. There's been a couple of them that are just better than the cover A's. So, you know, well. But hopefully I'll reduce it, get it more manageable. 'Cause at one time it was manageable. I do go through cycles and then I go freaking out of control again. So it is a high probability I'll go out of control again, but I'm gonna try to manage that with a new iPad and just getting things digitally. Like and I don't even have to order a bunch of stuff digitally. I could just order it when I have time to read it, because that's like an on-demand type of service that I could use for podcasting and whatever. But that's about it. Sales numbers this month were really low again. The EXO Man of War sold really well. It sold in the 60K. And then I heard they, I don't know how true this is, but I heard they have sold an additional 30K in pre-order bundles. So that's quite a bit, but I believe that it's eating up their existing audience, because I think that Valiant fans, a lot of them are all in and they want all the variants and every single cover and everything. So they're eating away at their own fan base. I really don't think they're grow like I the, those 1 in 500s are ridiculous for anybody to do, Marvel or DC. I just think that caters to a speculator market and constant sell kind of thing. I mean, that's fine if you're into that, but I'd rather have the market be strong on not the rarity, but strong on story and art. I'd prefer that. I'd prefer the quality of a book to sell over, the rarity of a collector. Like, I'm not a CGC guy either. I don't care to slab something because it's sealed, and then you have to crack the seal. As a consumer, I don't mind buying a CGC, because then I'm guaranteed, that somebody did look at it and grade it officially. But I've done that with a couple of key issues, and I've ripped them out, and I read them, and I'll continue to do that. So, what else is new? I think. Let me actually go to the sales and see what we have. Also, speculation wise, one of the weird things is the new 52 Batgirl is hot, like really hot right now. It's going for like over 20. I gotta sell one because I have two of them. The other thing I was really shocked to see is that Invincible number one, this one I don't own, for some reason I never got Invincible. I don't know why. It's odd. Maybe I was focused on DC. I'm always focused on DC, but there's been periods of time where I've cut back on a lot of independents, and that must have been it. 'Cause when Invincible and Walking Dead started, I didn't get them until the first hardcover came in. So I have like the Invincible hardcover volume 1, and then I think I have 1 through 4. And then Walking Dead, I just continued to get in hardcovers. But another book they say is hot is Defenders 27, and I know I have a couple copies of this because I just love the Defenders and I have a full run of it. But it's a first appearance of Starhawk, which it's rumored that Sylvester Stallone. It's weird how the movie stuff, like even the Batgirl. They're thinking of having that Batgirl movie being spotlighted, and this book shot up the same way a few weeks ago that the Gotham City Sirens book shot up. It's so weird that movies drive these books to shoot up, and that's when you want to sell, because I don't necessarily sell. Heathen number one's still hot. I really enjoyed that. I've read one and two, and I have three on the to read pile. But let's actually make our way over to the the top on Comic-Con, they have monthly rankings, and I always like to look at these. But you have to keep in mind that these are sales to comic shops. They are not sales to the consumer. So going back to the Exo Man of War, they do include some of the variants, though, in that number. But like Exo Man of War might have had, like, I can't imagine, at least 10 variants. Maybe more because they're store exclusives. And then there's like 1 in 50, 1 in 20, 1 in 100, I'm sure, and there's 1 in 500. That's a little ridiculous. But that meant that a retailer had to order 500 copies. Now, some of them are returnable. And I know for a fact, this was odd. So my retailer has one Valiant fan, and he's got two me, but I don't buy them there. I get the bundle from DCBS at 50% off, and those are just cover A's. You can get other covers at a discount, but like if you wanted the pre-order bundle, you get like a 35% off cover price, which is pretty damn good. But I actually did that for XO this past time, and I actually found it distracting. I was reading XO, and then they put all that extra material right in the middle. And I was like, it kind of took me out of the story. And even though I could just skip it, it just did take me out for a bit. I wish they would have just put it in the back. But I didn't really... I'm not a behind-the-scenes guy. And, you know, there was some talk on Twitter. I had posted something that said, you know, I don't need these pre-order bundles. I'm already pre-ordering. And then Dinesh saw it, and he says, well, you're going to miss a lot of stuff. And I said, you know, I did see what I was missing because I bought it. And I said, you're not losing me as a consumer. I'm just not going to buy both covers. And he was like, but we got some extra material, and we got some movie stuff that's going to be in there, like prequel stuff to the movie and hidden scenes. And you know what I found with hidden scenes is, you know, very seldom is there like a hidden scene. Like, I haven't felt this way with Batman versus Superman. I mean, there's a couple of scenes that people really thought were necessary, but I didn't. Even the Suicide Squad extra scenes, I mean, they're fun to watch, but it's like, you know, to get the gist of the movie, there's a reason they took them out. You might not always agree with them, but for the most part, I do. I didn't need to see like the extra Harley scenes, or I thought it was fine the way it was. So I don't need those extra scenes, and I buy so many comics that if I was like all in Valiant, and Valiant was the only thing I bought, and there was some extra little nitbit that I felt would help piece together the puzzle of the universe, then I might do that. But I'd rather spend an extra $3.99 getting another story from another company than to double up on the same story like four or five different times. So, I just explained. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to always pre-order Valiant. So, I'm not... You're doing these pre-order bundles to try to get that new reader to commit to stick around for three issues. But I say the danger in that is on the retailer, because what if that consumer says, F you, I'm not going to show up, I didn't like it. You know, they could do that. Unless the stores, I think the smarter stores will probably have some safety mechanism or guard against that, especially for like a new, if you're a longtime shop person and you go to the shop every week and stuff, you can trust those people because you know they'll be in there. Like for me, I cut back on some cover B's or whatever, and I flat out told him, because I get cover A's. Well, I get one of the other on DCBS and the other one at the shop. I said, hey, you know, I'm cutting back on these. But to play fair, I'm gonna buy them out, the ones that I had already pre-ordered from you. So like, 2 months out, I'll keep getting these extra covers, and I want you to phase them out, because I don't want to shaft the retailer that had to put money up for that book in advance. So let's just look at the top sales for March and the different shares. I always like to look at this stuff. But the top 10, we had Amazing Spider-Man 25. Well, that's like a key issue for Amazing Spider-Man. $9.99 cover price, so there's extra material. I'm not, a lot of people flip out at the cost of that, but if you look at the size of this stuff, that's a lot of reading material. So I think you get value for a higher price ticket item and the content that you get in it. Like Dark Knight Returns Master Race, it's a regular size comic plus another insert in the middle. So I don't mind paying the extra money. But that to me is the best Batman book, is Dark Knight 3 Master Race. That's number two. Those are the only two books that sold over 100K. Batman doubled up on at 3 and 4, so 18 and 19. It is dropping though. I don't know if that's concerning because they're double shipping, but Batman's usually above 100K. So they're above 100K if you put both of the totals together. Iron Fist number 1, really high debut, especially for that character. I'm sure a lot of those are sitting on shelves because I really don't think that the majority of people watching the TV show, unless they're already familiar with comic books, like they're already, even if they like the show, I don't think they're gonna go drop, $3.99 on a 32-page comic book when they can buy Netflix for like, what is it, $9.99 or a little bit over that a month and see unlimited shows. That's already like a good portion of that price, and that's just for a 15-minute read. We have X-Men Prime, that had a pretty doggone good debut with 83,689. At seven, we have Star Wars. That has been consistently strong for Marvel, so they ought to be happy about that. Eight is All-Star Batman. That's been a big winner for DC, even with the extra dollar. Walking Dead, that's the only comic to buck the trend of declining sales consistently. This does go up and down, but it usually has an upward slope and a high demand. And Justice League is still going strong. So as we make our way down, let's look at like what's selling it once we hit 200. At when you drop to 200, you're at like 10,000 copies, and at that point you're almost in the cancellation if you're in the big two, unless you're Vertigo, a kid's book, or some specialty book that does okay in trades or collected editions. But like at 200, you had the debut of Savage Things, which is the Justin Jordan debut. Really good comic. Is at 10,568. Let's see. Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys sold 9,491. I hear really good things about that, and I ordered it. I'm looking forward to reading it. But once you get to Valiant, man, they're all below 10K. So yeah, they have the trade sales. I don't think they count their sales that they sell at the convention. So if they go to the convention and they sell another 100 copies or 200 copies of something, I don't think they're included in these numbers. Digital sales are not included. No idea what those sell. Like, I hear rumor that like Miss Marvel's not doing too good in print, but it has really good digital sales. Man, it would be fun to sure look at what a digital sale is. But that's enough rambling for this episode 50. Again, you can go to Comicron.com and look at these every month. They're pretty fascinating to see like how books are doing in general. And they do it for graphic novels. Like if you're to read the top 10 graphic novels, number one is Saga Volume 7. Usually when you're in this range, you sell like 22,000. And that's awesome if you're a trade and you sell 22,000 copies. Walking Dead, so that's number two, that's the Image. Harlequin, number one, Die Laughing. Suicide Squad, Volume 1. So you see a lot of rebirth. Death of X, that's one that I wouldn't mind double dipping. I loved Death of X. Titans, Volume 1. Wolverine, Old Man Logan, I think that's the original one because of the cover price is $29.99. You had Deathstroke, that's a good debut for Deathstroke. It's number 8. It sold. Well, it's a big decline in sales. Like when you get outside of the top two, you're at like 6K, and then when you get down to number 8, you're already at 4K, and then by 10, you're on the lower 3K. So that gives you an idea where they sell. Let's just for kicks, because I'm so into Valiant. Let's see where their trade stacks up. Valiant Zeros and Origins Volume 1. Now that's additional because that book has been out for a while. So this one might be put in a bundle or something, like a loot crate of some sort, a comic bundle, what is it called? Bento. Maybe that was in there, and it sold an additional 1,838 copies. So that's good for them to get additional coverage like that. But let's see if there's anything new from Valiant and what they sold. Okay, Wrath of Eternal Warrior Volume 3, Deal with the Devil. That is a $14.99 cover price. I think there's four volumes in this. Maybe there's four. Maybe there's only three. But only 481 copies. That's not a hell of a lot. And then if you keep going down, the Faith hardcover. This was a deluxe edition, but it's the thinnest deluxe edition. There are 406. I guess that's not so bad for a hardcover. Britannia, that one sold 335 copies. That's not too good, at least in my opinion. But that just gives you an idea on sales, and I always pick on Valiant because I like them a lot, and I'm interested in them as a small publisher, and they only have like six titles a month now, so it's easy to keep track of and see how they're doing, and the trades they always offer in the back of previews like two or three. It's like usually two soft covers and maybe one deluxe. Sometimes there's just fewer than that, but usually they're that's pretty consistent. So now on to the weekly reads. This is I'm almost to overlap myself, but September 29th, 2016 to October 2nd, 2016, and the ratings are Netflix ratings. They're not the new Netflix ratings, because now you can only go thumbs up or thumbs down, and I won't be getting that ridiculous. But you have 5, I love it, 4, I really like it, 3, I like it, 2, did not like it, and 1 is I hated it. And in this bunch, there were 22 comics. There were no like it's, did not like it, or hated it. So they were all 4s or 5s. And I'm pretty easy to please. As long as I can escape, it's usually a 4. If I start thinking about something, it's a 3, and I enjoy it. And very seldom is there a 2 out of 5, but it does happen. And I don't think I've given a 1 out of 5 in, man, ages. So starting at the bottom, at 4 out of 5, we have Justice League of America number 9, where this was This was continued from the New 52, and it was wickedly delayed. But it was the Rao story arc, where one of the Rao came to Earth and started to recruit people to the religion, and they were all humans, and the Justice League had to come in, and Superman actually died. He was brought back to life, and Green Lantern was in space, and he had to fight Rao, and he was all bearded and old. It was a weird story arc. But I wasn't entertained until this delay happened, because it lost all the momentum for me. So it kept going, and it got weaker for me because of delays. I didn't even think they were going to finish it. And it finished kind of awkward. Like, they had a few more stories to tell, but they decided to jam it into one or two issues. We have Blue Beetle number one. This is Jaime having Dr. Fate dreams. And Ted and Jaime. And it plays into the current arc, because I just read the latest one. Jaime was going after this group called Posse. And Ted Kord was kind of annoying. And I still find him annoying. But the last issue, he was kind of cool. We had Titans number three. This is where Abracadabra claims he's responsible for keeping Wally in time. And Wally confronts Linda when she was captured, and she's captured. We have Legend number one. This wasn't a DC comic. This was a Z2 comic. And it's about dogs in a post-apocalyptic setting. And they lose one of their own. It's almost like a Walking Dead setting for animals. And there's cats involved, too. So it's like all the humans had died in this post-apocalyptic setting. But some animals were, you know, lived through it. We have Six Pack and Dog Welder number two. I enjoyed this series. I thought it was quite... It's quite dark. I mean, really dark comedy. It wasn't, like, laugh out loud funny. I mean, there was like some moments that were funny, but it's really kind of depressing when you think about it. But they had the Spectre, and he was looking for Beitor, you know, the guy that's like, I am Beitor. He always used to work at the bar and the Hitman series. And Constantine was training the new dog welder. We had Batman Beyond Rebirth number one. It was Batman versus the Jokers. They were Venom-style Jokers, and as well as they showed the original Joker, but at this time you didn't really know if it was him. But I know the answer, because I'm all caught up on the series. Teen Titans Rebirth number one. What was unique about this was it was kind of a unique team assembly, because Damian captured all the people that he wanted to be on the team, instead of inviting them. So that was a really weird way to start it. But it kind of fits with how, you know, Damian's personality is. We had Suicide Squad number three. It was the team versus Zod and the Russian Annihilation Brigade. It had some Amanda backstory. And it had a Katana backup. The backups were really good. Have Flash number seven. This was the rest of the speedsters gave away their powers to Flash. And if you remember this is when a bunch of people became speedsters. And during that explosion, and it's kind of like the TV show. And Barry decided to train most of them with some friends. What do we had? We had Wally in costume. I think it might have been the first time in number seven. And Godspeed heads to Iron Heights to kill villains. And he was the main villain in here. Black Hole and Godspeed opened up the Flash Rebirth. Action Comics 964. Superman takes Clark to the Fortress of Solitude for testing. This is when Luthor and Superman were trying to prove that the DNA of the Clark Kent was false, but they couldn't come up with anything. It really proved that it really was Clark Kent. So the mystery unfolded eventually, and I was right because I guessed who that was, but I'm not going to say who that was. If you listen to DC Weekly Reads, you'll know that I guessed it like maybe 5 months in advance, just based on who I thought could possibly do that. Action. So we did action. Wonder Woman number 7. That they fought the god. It was like a Yukar Taga to free Trevor, and they had to free these girls too and Cheetah from the curse. This was the odd one, so it happens in current time. We had Batgirl number 3. Kai was the friend of Barbara's way back when they were kids, and he turned out to be up to no good. And the villains in this book separated Batgirl from Kai, and Batgirl versus the Moth twice. We had Detective Comics 941. This was Batman and Batwoman fight the large monster. Gotham and Nightwing turn monsters at prison. So this was the Monster Men, and Nightwing and Gotham had went to a prison, and they actually got infected, so they actually turned into Monster Men in this issue. And spoiler, an orphan fought a spore-filled mob. We have Hellblazer number 2, where Constantine infiltrates London, and he was supposed to not go back there and couldn't get in, like, mystically, but he tricked his way in. And Swamp Thing was with a girl named Mercury. She's a big part of this particular series, and Mercury was actually trying to help Swamp Thing find Abby. And I'm current on Hellblazer, and we still don't know where Abby is. So Divinity 2 number 1, this was the story of the Russian female cosmonaut. So you learn a lot about that. Really good entry point. A lot to think about in the Divinity series. It's really well told. If you're into comics like Captain Atom or like Dr. Manhattan, beings that are almost godlike, it's very interesting to see a writer try to tackle that and make it interesting. But, you know, Dr. Solar was another one of those, which I think Divinity is based on. They basically said, I want a Dr. Solar, so we'll create Divinity. I want a Turok, so we'll create, you know, Savage. I want a Magnus robot fighter, so I'll create X. Maybe that could be War Mother. I don't know. What else we got? Gotham Academy second semester. This was, God, I can't remember the white-haired girl's name. Damn it. She's a big character in the series. A matter of fact, in the latest issue, it blew my freaking mind what they did with her. And I don't want to spoil that, but she stays in school for intermission, and she gets a new roommate who's a bad seed. And man, if you're up to speed, this will blow your mind, because when you find out about that roommate and holy mackerel, it's such a surprise storytelling wise, and also it's a big deal for fans of the Batman mythos. Okay, we have Thor 399 to 400. This was Odin versus Seth, Thor versus Surtur. Black Knight was frozen like the ebony blade, and really good. I read this in the epic format. I don't own those issues. We have Batman 489. This was, obviously you could tell from the numbers from Volume 1. Bruce was sick, exhausted after dealing with his rogues in rapid succession. Dr. Kinsolving was treating him. Croc is back destroying things. Bane takes out Croc. John Paul is Batman. So this is the Killer Croc. I was reading, I have these comics, but I was reading this in the Arkham Asylum Killer Croc trade. Really awesome. Batman 471, this is Killer Croc, now part of an underground community. Batman invades the community, and Croc gives his life to save the community. And Harley's got her ball and going nuts now. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 5. Really good. One of the bright spots in the Rebirth. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. Hal teams up with Sorenek and explains how he made his own ring. Big deal for where this is currently going, especially with Sorenek. And Guy Gardner was being tortured. John teams up with the Spider Guild to go after Sinestro. And we have Deathstroke number 3, another bright spot and surprise in the Rebirth. One of the best, in my opinion. This is a 5 out of 5. It's a hit on Ravager. Really cool to see Ravager back, Rose Wilson. And the way it's dialogued is absolutely awesome. So the 5 out of 5s were Batman 489, Batman 471, Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps number 5, and Deathstroke number 3. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Please leave an iTunes review under the Geek Brunch podcast on iTunes. You can leave a comment at Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast, or go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com and leave a comment there. You can also visit me at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, and I think that about covers it. I hope you enjoyed this 50th episode. I'll probably be doing more of these the next couple of weeks because I have things going on the weekend, so what that means is no DC Noise, no DC Weekly Reads, no Geek Brunch or Geek Brunch Retro until May. I apologize for that, but sometimes plans and things get in the way and they take my weekends away, which it's good to have weekends off every now and then. It refreshes your mind. So I'll probably only be on Gotham by Geeks and this one if I do get a chance. But what I did is I told Daryl and Keith if they wanted to record a DC Noise that they should go ahead and do it. And I hope they can get one done. And I also told Rob and Chris if they wanted to do a retrocast. And I did talk to Bill, and we may do one Geek Brunch, but it'll be on a weeknight, so it'll probably, instead of being 3 hours, it'll probably be 1 hour, but we'll see how that goes and how things work out. And I am going to Heroes, and it's the weekend of C2E2, so I know all my friends on the Nerdy Legion are going to be there, and Valiant Central and stuff. And I hope they have a wonderful time. It sounds like a blast. I've never been to C2E2. I would love to go because Bill, that's Bill's in Bill's town. And I could hang out with Bill the whole time and just have a blast. Someday I'll probably do that instead of go to Heroes. Or it's just hard to turn down Heroes or Baltimore because that's where my geek family goes to. So we'll see how everything turns out, but maybe next year. So that's it. You can also send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And any feedback or questions, please let me know. And I'll talk to you again in a week or two. Bye.